it's done and it's time to be called home, I know where I'm going. Kind of like what Jesus said. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So today I want to begin a little bit here with that area of the triumphal entry. And I want to show and find and hear again where we're going to stop. It's going to be a place that you today can do the same thing. You know, it's always good to read his word and to say, well, that was wonderful back then. Oh, those guys did that then, and that was a help. That's great, you know. I wonder what I can do in this day and age that would be of a benefit like that back then. Now, we know throughout a lot of this all is that, you know, God's word is the same today and yesterday, today and tomorrow. But I want to lead out here in just a little bit with, I think, what we can even do today and the benefit of it. But if I go into Matthew, as you're getting ready to go there, we find from Scripture during the time that Jesus made this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, you can go back to Zechariah 9:9 to see this prophecy being shared back there. In Zechariah 9:9, I'll just read to you. It says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So here we find this back in Zechariah. It's a prophecy. And this is speaking of an event that's going to take place well up to like 400 years from that point in time. And so now we go into that event that's shared in Matthew. And so I should have turned there too. Let's go to Matthew. You've already been there. Matthew 21 kind of gives us that heading on my Bible, maybe yours too, of the triumphal entry. Let's pray just before we go into this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gracious time that you have allowed it to us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for your spirit to be here with us. May it rest upon us and each and every one of us, Lord. Open our hearts and our ears, our spiritual ears, Lord, to hear these things of your word. And that, Lord, that we're not merely reading a story, that we're not merely reciting just history, but that we're going to find something in the scriptures of today that will speak to us today, and that we will take it with us as we leave here. We thank you, Lord, that your word is alive, your word is true, your word is for today. We give you the honor and the glory for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. The triumphal entry, it starts off here. And it says, now when they drew near Jerusalem, so they're coming near to Jerusalem, and now they're up in the Mount of Olives, and he's there and with his disciples, and he sends, it says in my Bible, two disciples. And he says to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey. I am so thankful. My Bible doesn't say, go into that village opposite of you and try to find something. Start looking around. I'm sure you'll find something there that I can use. No. And immediately, Jesus is telling them, immediately, hallelujah. I believe we have, this is a stopping off point that I wasn't going to stop. We have immediate times with Jesus. Amen. In our lives today, God is that same God that when you're going through times of whatever a situation is, that I know, and I hope you know, that there can be an immediate outcome if God so wills it. Amen? If God's will, it's going to be done. It will be done at his time and all that time scale of where it's at. But anyway, you will immediately, and you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her, loose them, bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, just say this, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Verse 4, all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting what? On a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. We just read that where? Back in Zechariah. Isaiah will share some of that as well as Zechariah 9:9, which we just shared too. So the disciples went and they did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And then a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down the branches from the trees, spread them on the road. The multitude who went before and those who followed did something. They cried out. They cried out this, Hosanna to the Son of David. Oh, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Exuberance, excitement, happy things were going on. Now, we have shared in the past, and as you look at spreading garments and spreading the palm leaves or the branches on, that was in kind of like rolling out the red carpet. It was a point of time to where this person was of importance, and we're going to lay out the red carpet. He's not just going to be led down a dirt road, you know. He's going to use our jackets and our palm branches, and we're going to make it like that of a carpet. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Many people were moved. It says that in verse 10. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? No, this is Jesus, the prophet. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. My goodness, of Galilee, where have you been? You know? Now, you can imagine the hubbub and the swelling of the crowd, and there's a lot of things you can get into of the time frame and what was taking place during that Passover week and all these things that were leading up to it. But then we get into this part here, and now what I want to do is draw us from his triumphant entry that we've just read. That's something that speaks to us here today. And that is in verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all of those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He was upset again, wasn't he? That was the second time that he had to go in and do that. If you go into John 2:13 and 16, you will find him doing that same thing. Somehow they like to make that court and that outer court and those courts, you know, they were bargaining and selling and doing these things in that area. And now we know that a lot was that they were overcharging people. They were not being truthful. These people were traveling and coming in, and they didn't have the areas of like for sacrifice, or their money wasn't good there. They had to take their coins or whatever and transfer it into the temple coins and things like that. So we have people there that were like a currency exchange. The only thing, these guys in this currency exchange were underhanded. They were deceitful. They were not giving them the true value, you know, of what they were getting. They were taking more of their coins and only giving them a small amount of the temple coins, and it just wasn't true value by value. And so here we find Jesus goes into this temple of God. He drives those that bought and sold in the temple and overturned these tables. He's upset. He's upset that they turned the house of God into, you know, a business. And he says this to them, what? It is written that my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And then the blind and the lame, they came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Now, when the chief priest and the scribe saw this wonderful thing happening that he had done, and then they heard and they saw the children crying out in the temple saying, what? Hosanna to the Son of David. They, the priest and the scribes, they were indignant. They were angry. And they said to him, do you hear what they're saying? And Jesus says to them, what? Yes. Have you ever read that out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfect praise? Then he left them and he went out, and this is where you start looking at different gospels and the time frame where he went, and then he came back, and the time frame of this, There's some things to where he came into that point and then went out and then he came back in. You can read it throughout Mark, Luke, and John and see some variances there. But the gist of it is he's there, he's come in, he's found the same thing that was taking place, that what happened back in the beginning of his ministries as far as seeing what was taking place in the synagogues and in the temple of God. But what I want to go into and look at is verse 16. There it says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have what? Perfect praise. Now, when we look at this and we see babes, it's not necessarily babies. That word would be reflective back then as well as simple-minded or immature Christian. So out of the mouth of the simple-minded or immature Christians and nursing infants, you have perfect praise. It tells us that, or tells me anyway, that you don't have to be a learned man or woman to praise God. You don't have to have a doctrinal authority of understanding to lift up praise to the King of Kings. You do that for who you know He is and what He's about. And that's what frustrated, of course, a lot of the learned back then. A lot of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, you know, these were learned men and they had a duty to perform and they were the ones that the common folk looked up to for direction and guidance and what should we do, how do we do this, and all the laws that were placed there in respect to honoring God and the sacrifices and things. And of course, we've learned also as we've read back through different scriptures that's, you know, the hypocrites for the time were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They had all these rules and regulations to be right there with God, but they themselves wouldn't obey those things. They wouldn't do those things. Jesus one time said, you put things upon men and others that you don't yourself take care of, you know? And so that's what you find sometimes with an authoritative group of people is like, we're going to put more on them than we're not going to follow, but we're going to make them follow it. So anyway, this gets into this whole realm of just the frustrations that these people were having because now Jesus comes along saying that he's the Son of God, and they don't understand that. That's blasphemy to them, and then the whole story goes. But I want to look at this where out of the mouth of babes, out of the mouth of the simple-minded and even immature Christians, and even nursing infants, you have perfect praise. I don't know where I put it in here. What you'll find with these children, it wasn't unusual for children to be in this particular part of the temple. They were there a lot of times for acclimation and to be there to lift up praises. Where did I put that at? It was common among the Jews for the children to be employed in public acclamations. The shouting of the children was therefore no strange thing in the land. The only thing that was strange now is they, the leaders of those times, they were exasperated because the person that they were celebrating, there was deep-rooted hatred for him. You know, they didn't understand that these kids are praising and shouting Hosanna. So let's go back to that. We are finding here in this phrase, perfect praise. Now we find this back with the phrase perfect praise is that perfect praise is that perfect praise will produce strength. Jesus here is quoting out of Psalms 8:2. If you want to look back there, you can. But in Psalms 8:2, you find where it says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Jesus is quoting Psalms 8:2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, and that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. You have ordained strength because of your enemies. So the Greek Bible here, in which Jesus was kind of using in Matthew, considered the Hebrew word here, rendered strength, to be better translated as praise. Do you not find strength in praising God? Has anybody ever been down to the point to where you just feel so dejected, so weak, so discouraged? But if you can begin to muster up some praise, if you can begin to say, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Lord, Hallelujah. It's not easy, Lord, but I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you in the morning. I'm going to praise you in the noontime. I'm going to praise you in the evening. I'm going to praise you through this discouragement, all these times that I'm going through. I believe, and I've sensed it within myself, and you can shake your head yes or say amen, but during your times of discouragement, when you go into times of praising, do you begin to sense a strength beginning to rise up within you? I think we would, because that's that point of time, just like back then, we're out of the mouth of babes, the simple-minded or immature Christians, or even us Christians. You know, we begin to have that perfect praise. We begin to have that strength rising within us. Hallelujah. And we know today, and even back then, and we know that our tomorrows, we need strength to persevere. We need strength to go on. Amen? So, again, this is considering back in the Hebrew word of being rendered strength to better be translated as praise. So out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength or established praise because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. So what are the results of established praise? The result of established praise, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Do you want to silence that enemy that is there dealing with you right now, that the old devil, you know, that spirit, he's just out there wanting to just create havoc. He's just wanting to just, if nothing else, just be a burr in your saddle. He's wanting to kill, steal, and destroy the things of you, the things of your family, the things of your job, your life in general, you name it. He's there wanting to do that. But with perfect praise, with that praise that we can go to God with, it gives us that strength, and because of that, you will silence the enemy. Hallelujah! You know, the old enemy needs to be silenced. We've heard enough of him, amen? And let's silence him by the way of praising. And that's that focus of, don't focus on the enemy, don't focus on the problem. Haven't we heard that? I'd rather focus on God than focus on the problem. Because if I'm focusing on the problem, it's taking my eyes off of God. And if I take too much time of trying to figure out this old evil enemy, it's just like he's taking too much of my time. And any time that I give to him, it's taking away from my time of giving him. It's taken away from my time of praising him, worshiping him, shouting glory to him. Oh, but you're going through a terrible time. How can you do that? I better be doing that if I want to come through that time. Amen. That if I want to come through that time of frustration and sickness or financial problems or relation or whatever the case might be, anything that's going awry, I better be shouting glory to God and be praising him from up on high. Because I'm going to avenge that enemy. And I just know when that happens, light comes in, and when light comes in, darkness has to flee. And I want to be around light. How about you? Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. So the result of established praise is that you silence the enemy and that avenger. Matthew 21:16, perfect praise will produce strength. It is powerful. Here we find Jesus being rejected by the leaders, right? But what do we find? The young people are captivated, or the immature, or the lowly immature Christians, and those that are just coming along and just getting an understanding, you know, they are being captivated by the full meaning of who Jesus is. Because what are they shouting? In verse 15, the children are crying out in the temple, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. At the road as he was coming in with the multitude, they were crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. So in the final days of Jesus, he's hearing from the children their praises of him. Hosanna to the Son of David. We find and we know, and you've heard, and if not, here it is. Hosanna is often the thought of a declaration of praise, similar to hallelujah, but actually it's a plea for salvation. and in saying Hosanna, the children as well as the adults who shouted Hosanna back in Matthew 21:9, they were crying out for salvation. And that's exactly why Jesus had come. For what? For salvation. Within a week, he would be hanging on the cross. By week's end. This is like Sunday. This is Palm Sunday. This is today. He's coming to Janesville. We're out here. We're shouting Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna means save now. It's more than a cry of acclamation. Essentially, it is a plea from an oppressed people. Hosanna. 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 Come, save. Come. Come, Hosanna. So people are declaring that on the outskirts of Jerusalem. In this temple, we've got children that are normally there. Remember, they are employed for public acclamations and times in the temple. But they didn't want the children yelling or crying out Hosanna to this guy. This guy, he's the enemy. He's the things that we're going to have charges against. How can they do that? Those leaders at that time were exasperated because that person that they were celebrating, they had deep-rooted hatred to. We find that there's deep hatred towards Christ today. We find there's deep hatred towards anything of religion in some societies. Amen? People seem to always have a bone to pick. And if it's something they don't like, they just paint everybody with a broad brush, or everybody comes into that realm of what they hate. So for us today, I would encourage each of us that we go through adversities or we have problems, that you need strength, I need strength, to continue to overcome these things. And to be able to overcome these things, I just want to encourage us, to encourage myself, that the first thing that needs to be out of my mouth is, rather than, oh, woe is me, or oh boy, what's going to happen, is I need to say Hosanna. I need to shout praise. I need to not look at the physical or the circumstances at hand, but I need to be looking at, like what Jesus said, I know where I've come from and I know where I'm going. I need to be to that level of point in time in my life, and I hope in your life as well, that even though you're going through a struggle, that you can say, you know, forever how long I go through this, it's going to happen. Lord, bring me through it quicker. Lord, heal me faster. Lord, do this. Lord, I desire this. Lord, all these things. But Lord, I want your will to be accomplished in this. And give me the strength to persevere. Give me the strength to carry on. But of all these things, Lord, I never want to discount the time that I can just praise you and thank you and worship you and for who you are. Because if all this continues on as I'm on today, Father, because of Jesus Christ being sent, he's made a way for me to come back to heaven to you. And that's where I'm going to be spending eternity. How about you? It's there in heaven. And so how many here, you guys, look, think at yourself. You know where you've come from in your life. Some of the things that you were into 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years, you name it. Or I know where I've come from. And you know, back at that time, I really couldn't tell you I knew where I was going. And this is thinking of the spiritual side, you know. Even in the natural, there's many people out there that really don't know where they're going. You ask people, I don't care if they're 18 years of age. I don't care if they're 50 years of age. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just riding this ride until it's over. You know? I'm just holding on. How many hear people say, I'm just holding on? Yeah. Well, would you like to know where you're going? Would you like to know what's out there? And I'm not talking material things. I'm not talking about your job and family and home and, you know you're going to have this and that and when you get to this age. I want you to know, do you want to know where you're going to spend eternity? Because it's coming quick, amen? You never know the hour nor the day that your life is going to be required of you, young or old. Through some craziness and circumstances of tragedies that take place in our society of today, many people go out and shopping and movies and restaurants and visiting and tourists and all that, not even thinking that that was going to be their last day. And something happens crazily and a twisted mind gets out there and they've got it in for whoever and whatever, just society in general. They've got it in for the establishment. They've got it in for the government. They've got it in for the churches. They've just got it in for somebody. And they end up just going crazily into that, and then innocent people die. And so we do not know that time or that hour, but it's good to know where you will be going whenever that time comes. It should give us some peace. It'll be sorrow for those that are left behind. It'll be hurtful for those that don't quite understand. But as we get through all of that, to be able to sit there and say, but yes, but I know that they're in a much better place. A lot better than where I'm at. You know, just listen to the news. It's like, oh, Lord, you know, come quickly now. Come quickly now. But we all know that it's still in God's hands. We all know that God is still in control. But we've got to know is, am I able to praise Him and worship Him even when everything looks chaotic around me? That time of the season of when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, all the hooping and hollering, and, ha, Hosanna! How soon that all changed, where people were crying out for Him to let Barabbas go, a murderer and a person that did crazy things in that community, let the murderer go and hang this guy in his place or put this person on the cross. And so society is a little different out there, I tell you. But we have the ability to have perfect praise, to have that strength in our praise. And I loved when I read that back in the Psalms, I think it is, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. I think as we praise, that's kind of a happy time, right? And I think in just a quick time here of thinking of these things, whenever you've had a disagreement with somebody, or somebody comes in, they're really mad and they just really want to go toe-to-toe with you about an issue, if you can remain very calm, it's hard. If it's not by that of the Spirit of God in you, praise God, that if we could do that same type of thing like what Jesus did, even when he was brought before his accusers, even as he was brought before Pilate and Herod, and he never spoke one thing to denounce that. He did not say, you know, these are lies and all that. They would say, are you the Son of God? Are you this? And he would say, it is as you say. Jesus never argued with them. And as Dan had shared in Sunday school, you know, it's sometimes best not to argue because it doesn't do any good anyway, because you just get into a battle. It's back and forth, so nothing's really accomplished. But if we go into times where we get into a situation with someone and we can remain calm and at peace, generally that will defuse the situation, right? It's only when anger is met with other anger that anger grows. And it's hard to sit there and be calm and peaceful. But just think how hard it was for Jesus. But he had the Spirit of God in him. Hallelujah. Well, he was God in the flesh. But yet he stood there, you know, as a lamb going to slaughter, not saying anything. But we can develop that strength. And we can ask him to come in and, Lord, give me that ability to answer, you know, a angered word. But let me answer it with love. Let me answer it with a peaceful conversation. And if they don't have it peacefully, I can always turn around and leave and not be agitated, you know. But if we can do these things and have perfect peace and have perfect strength, and any time that we get into these things, day in and day out, if we can just praise our God, if we can just say, oh, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfect praise. Isn't it awesome to think that we can do that? And what is perfect praise, you know? Perfect praise, just setting your mind upon Him, setting your thoughts upon Him. No matter what's going on around you, I can look and just praise Him and worship Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So, Father, as we come to this point in time, Lord, I just thank you again for your truth and your word of how we can handle our adversary, how we, Lord, can silence the enemy. We, at times, give the enemy too much time and too much vocal noise around us, Lord. And one way to shut him down is when he is shouting at us, is we need to shout praises to you. And Lord, how your word says that, you know, you will avenge those things, Lord, that you go before us, that you will take care of these things. You just want our attention. You just want our praise. You want our every waking moment, Lord, to be fixated upon you and knowing that you're God and knowing that you're there. And we just want to honor you and shout to you. And we praise you, Father God, for these things. Hallelujah. Keep us this day, Lord, we ask. Let this week be a remembrance to our minds of the things that Jesus has gone through. And as we come back next Sunday, Lord, to the actual day of the crucifixion but the resurrection, Lord, after that. Hallelujah. We thank you and we praise you for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And everybody would say, Amen. Amen.